Blog Talk Radio.
In a world of fake everything, one thing that's hard to find is real Christian people. They're out there, and we just happen to know a few. Sit back, relax, as I, Redward Slew, interview Christians just like us. Hey, everybody. Redward Slew, how are you on a wonderful Wednesday evening? Here, we got ourselves some warm weather out there tonight, which is awesome. It really is better than the cold that we have, but we're special. Sticking out in the ocean here in Cape Cod. We get the salt air all around us. We tend to get a little warmer weather, but tonight's guest is Ron, and he's down in Pennsylvania, and I think he might have a different story to tell. I don't know. So why don't we bring him on and welcome him. Ron has got a YouTube channel. It's called Armor Up. He has over 400 subscribers, and he does readings from the Bible, goes through the Bible, reads them, does commentary on them. He's a real good man of God, and we just want to give him some time, let him tell us who he is, what he's doing for God, and what he's going to do in the future. Who knows? Who knows where it'll end up? So let me bring him in here. Hold on 1 second. Hello, Ron, are you there? Hello.
Yep, can you hear me, brother?
I can hear you. There you go. There's that radio voice I know and love.
Everybody says that.
Everyone says that. Yeah. Between you and Rob there, me, I got that, I don't know. You know what I'm saying, voice?
Yeah.
It's all good. I do. I have the Lou voice down. So, how are you tonight? How's things going for you down there?
Oh, good, brother. Getting a little rain. I think we're going to get some ice because it's turning freezing. So, it could be a little messy the next day or so. But it's Pennsylvania winter. We've been pretty lucky so far.
Yeah. Now, are you anywhere near the mountains or Poconos?
Yeah. Not near the Poconos. I'm along, what is that, Alleghenies, I guess, is what we're on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you tend to get a little worse weather than other people, down at sea level.
Yeah, we get it decent. I mean, there's parts not far from us, like Crescent and areas like that, like you said, the Poconos. They get a little worse than us. But, yeah, we get real winter. We normally get a pretty bad winter. But, like I said, this year it's been pretty good.
Oh, rain. Yeah, that's good. I mean, we've had it good here. We haven't had anything for snow, which is wonderful. But again, like I said, we're sticking out in the ocean. We have all the salt air around us, and we tend to get milder winters.
But we get cold. Yeah, you get the cold. Yeah, we had better cold the other night. It was like, the night I was delivering, Monday night into Tuesday, it was single digits all night. Low teens and single digits most of the day. So, but today it bounced back up to right around freezing. And we had 9 inches once, and then it's gone. And the last snowstorm we had, it wasn't really a storm. We got about, I think, 5 inches here, so not bad.
Yeah. Well, 9 inches. For me, that's a task because I have a real long driveway and I have to get out there and shovel because my snow blower is giving up the ghost. It's
I heard about that. Like one of your brothers said something about it. I was like, oh yeah, shoveling's no fun. My wife does all the shoveling. Desert. I don't know how she does it. And then our neighbor bought a, they got a side by side with a little plow, so they've been plowing the main driveway. So we're blessed.
There you go. Wonderful. So, hey, I wanted to bring you on. I wanted, as a guest to do an interview. And, this interview is pretty much just, regular everyday Christians and bring them on, find out who they are, you know, where they've been, what brought them to Christ, and what they're doing in the future, or what they hope to do in the future for Christ. So, I don't know. I'll leave it up to you, and you can tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, maybe what you did in the past. I don't know. Were you a school teacher? What did you do in your life? What was your claim to fame?
My claim to fame. I didn't know I had one. Well, first of all, you know I got to get on you, brother. Your first guest is Tina. Now, Tina don't call herself a Christian, as you know. She's a Christ believer, she says.
Yeah.
And I've made it quite clear many times, I am not a Christian. So it's funny, your first two Christian, what's it called, the Christians like us, guest.
That's all right. It's a canned term.
I just love the term.
Hey, man.
I ain't got no label. Follow Jesus.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Died on the cross for our sins. Whatever you want to call it, that's fine by me.
You know, I had to get on you there, brother.
That's all right. I don't care. I got to call the show something.
Yeah, there you go. Could have called it Weirdos Like Us. I'd have fit in better with that.
Wow, that definitely would fit in with me, that's for sure.
But no, I guess, I don't know. I've done many things over to life as far as jobs goes. I was in the military, Army, for a few years. Spent some time in Germany. That was fun. Quite a bad guy for many decades. Like, really bad. Really, really bad. Super bad.
Super bad.
Like old Paul said, Chief of the Sinners, I think I got that record set. So,
there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. Did a lot of... I'm a driver mostly now. I always like driving the best, so I've always drove. Now I drive like a box truck delivering expensive organic produce all over D.C., Virginia, West Virginia, all down around that area.
Mm.
Which is fun in wintertime, but it ain't too bad. And that's what I do now. I've had different driving jobs over the years. I've run a print press before. I've been a butcher for decades. I've done all kinds of stuff.
Jack
Went
of all
a lot
trees.
Of yeah. That's quite a bad fellow. But we don't talk about that guy. He don't matter anymore anyway.
Yeah, but you know what?
Slowly dying. Slowly dying.
Slowly dying, yeah. Sometimes we have to...
He is a diehard. But luckily, we know we have to die daily, so it's cool. As long as we die daily.
Yeah.
A little more.
We get a lot of tombstones in our yards. We die daily.
Yep.
But,
a little bit here, a little bit there. That's the good thing about the Holy Spirit. It never gives us more than we can handle. I have a lot of stuff to work on, so it might take it'll take a lifetime to clean it up. That's just the way it is. So you can't let the enemy get you down. You know, people come and say, oh, look, you still do this or you still do that. You call yourself as, you know, that's between you and the Spirit. Don't ever let a man tell you you're not doing good enough. You know what I mean? Because they will. Enemy loves you.
Yeah.
People come against you to tell you you got this fault and that fault. You ain't got no fault as long as you're truly seeking the Father and listening to the Spirit. It don't matter what it looks like. Just matters what's inside. That's what people need to remember, you know. Don't ever judge anyone. You don't know where their walk is. Never judge anybody.
Right. You got that right. So, when you were in the military, were you in just for a 2-year, 4-year stint, or did you go 10 years?
Back in my day, they had what they called the delayed entry. So I actually joined when I was 17, but finishing high school. So you had like a year of pre-active duty. And then I had 4 years of active, but didn't quite make it. Made it 3.5 years of active. And then got a general under honorable discharge.
Okay.
Like I said, I was quite the piece of work back in the day.
Yeah. Well,
openly worship bad things, you know, carve upside down crosses in yourself, all kind of fun stuff.
I've been there.
I was bad, but
that led to trying to get a feel for
general it. General honorable discharge. But
yeah.
Had a lot of fun in the military there. Like I said, spent 2.5 years in Germany. That was awesome. Back in the 80s, early 80s. That was 82 to 84 as in Germany. Well, 2 years,
yep.
I guess. And, yeah, lots of good concerts. Well, lots of bad things, but you know what I mean. Back then, I thought they were good. under 21 and just having a blast.
Having a
lots
blast,
lots of things
yeah.
legal in Germany. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I went in the end of 84, and so I was probably going in when you were getting out. Or,
yeah, I got out in December 84.
Did you? Yeah, so you got out, I went in.
Yeah, I was anti-aircraft. Back then they were called Hawk missiles. I think they're called Patriots now, but Hawk
mm-hmm.
fire control. Shoot down the enemy airplane.
Yeah. Now, did you see anything over there in Germany like they always talk about? I'm getting a little feedback from your right over your side over there. But did you ever thinking that? Oh, that's what I was thinking. The running over chickens and running over people's. You know, poultry and so on and so forth. I've always heard things about the tankers that went over there, that they'd go barreling through people's yards and farms, and then the government would have to pay reparations to them for killing the chickens or killing a cow and every cow that that cow would have had and so on and so forth.
I don't know. Not, I mean, I never seen anything like that or heard anything about that, but there. I was in during wartime, but what war was it? I didn't see any action.
Mm-hmm.
It was the, I think Grenada was going on back then. Reagan was president. Yeah. I think it was Grenada and Libya. That's what Libya and Grenada war is when I served. Yeah. I didn't hear anything about that or see anything like that. Now it is true though. They would say, you know, if you do something to that farmer's animal or kill a chicken. So, obviously, it must have been true if they bothered to tell us about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I didn't actually see it or hear about it. But they did say, you know, don't kill that chicken because you have to pay for that chicken and every chicken the chicken would have had. So
exactly. So the rumor is it might be true.
Rumor that may be true because they did tell us.
Well, I didn't go over there. They asked me if I wanted to go to Korea. And I said no, and then they tried to schmooze me with, you can buy cheap stereo equipment over there. You know, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I got a wife and kid. I'm not going to leave them because they said I couldn't bring them over there. Well, you're going to have to do a tour of duty overseas. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm staying right here.
Yeah, I can't believe they wouldn't let you take your wife and child over there. Usually they make you go for like a couple months, and then usually you can have them with you.
Well, you had to find a host family, and I think that was part of it, where you would have a host family, and then they would sort of sponsor you or something of that nature. But it was out of the question.
Well, that's different than when I was in, because I had a wife and child over there, and we lived off post. We just rented our own house off post. And,
But that might have been Germany. Where Korea, you know, we're still at war. We've always been at war since the Korean War. It's just a ceasefire over there. So it might be because it's a war zone or something. I have no idea.
That's highly possible.
Yeah. But I didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know? So I just stayed stateside. You know, I did do a jump over to Libya for about 5-6 days. And that was when we bombed Gaddafi. And they said they killed them and all this other jazz. But
the one I helped put in, because back when I was in, they were all for getting Gaddafi put in. So our government helped put him in power. And then, a couple decades later, took him out.
Exactly.
It's funny world we live in, brother. Funny world.
Yeah, I don't know. They just do things and use people as pawns. And wonder what Gaddafi felt.
It truly is a chess game. That's why you better know whose side you're on, because only one side wins.
You know what? I'm on the judge's side. That's what side I'm at. Oh, praise God.
Did I pick that feedback any? Is that feedback better?
Yeah, I'm not getting much now.
All right, I moved my mic. I have no mute on this, so.
Okay. All right. So what brought you around to, coming in, getting with God and sort of starting to lean towards, giving your life to Christ, serving God, changing your ways? Did you have some big epiphany? Did, beam of light come down from the sky?
With no angels singing, it was. I'd say it was an experience, but well, first of all, I always started out sort of going to church. My family wasn't religious, but they weren't anti-religious. I mean, we didn't pray when we ate, they believed in God supposedly, and like everybody did back then. But they weren't anti-religious, but they didn't go to church. They didn't do any of that stuff. But I don't know whether you call it drilled, whatever. I just always went to church. I used to walk to church. Well, I'd catch a ride with the neighbors. They started taking me to a little church because where I lived was up in the mountains, like you said, and it wasn't, nothing's really close. So I went to a church that was probably, four or five miles away. So I caught a ride with the neighbors, usually, and pretty much went to church on my own and come to know all the Bible stories and all the stuff we're indoctrinated with as children and that Jesus and that God. And so I was always, and supposedly was saved. I said the magic words and did all that. So, I was good to go. And as a young child, and I went to church till I was probably 16. And then, of course, high school and the rebellion starts kicking in. So I didn't go to church much anymore. And didn't really think about it. Oh, also, as a child, I spent all my time in the woods alone. Didn't hang out with people much. I always spent my time alone walking around the mountain in the woods. So sort of, I guess you would call it, maybe talking to God or nature, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Communed a lot with nature and enjoyed that. And so I always sort of, believed in Jesus. I knew about him. Like I said, I went to church all the time. So, but then 16, got a little rebellious. 18, in the service. All downhill from there for a while. All downhill from there for a long while.
Yep.
Got into all kind of stuff. Drugs, alcohol, of course. Well, my first duty station, the sergeant in charge of us was a staff sergeant. They call him a platoon sergeant in the Army. And he straight up told me, he said, "Well, are you an alcoholic or a drug addict?" I said, "Well, I'm neither one." I said, "I've drank beer growing up, and I smoked my first joint at our graduation party a week before I left for El Paso service. So, never really did drugs, did drink, of course, and smoked cigarettes, all that good stuff, but never did drugs of any kind." I said, "Well, I'm going to be neither one." He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "You're in the Army. You're either going to be an alcoholic or you're going to be a drug addict. Everybody is. Some people are both." Well, I considered that a challenge, so I became both.
You became both. <with it.
laughs> And, but yeah, I mean, you're 18 years old. You ain't never been away from anything. Right. And here's a dude now, that you've already been taught to be scared of, basically, through the training. And he's telling you, you're going to be a drug addict or an alcoholic. Pick one or pick both. So,
yeah,
could have been a little brainwashing going off. Who knows? But either way, I chose to be both and had a lot of what you would call fun, I guess. But, it made me what I am today. It helped me see the dark side a lot better with the Satanism type stuff and tarot card readings and all that weird stuff I get into. That definitely gave me a lot of good insight into the way the enemy does his stuff. I can spot it very easily because I used to do it. You know what I mean? So,
exactly.
So I think all in all, when I look back, there's no doubt the Father had this wild plan. We have free will, but I think the Father already also knows everything. He already knows the choices we're going to make long before we're even faced with the choices to make. I believe that. I believe he's omnipotent. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I believe he knows the beginning from the end. I believe all that. So knowing the mistakes I were going to make and how deep I was going to go onto the enemy side, he knew in the end it would all be used for good, just like it says. He turned it all to good. It's all, like I said, it helps me recognize the enemy a lot quicker. You know, always a little, I mean, yeah, he's still sneaky, and but I can recognize the spirits because I knew them, you know what I mean? At least some
right.
of them. Not that I know all the demon spirits, there's a whole bunch, but
oh,
I know
yeah.
some, and I can tell when they're operating. I can spot it plain as day. I know how they operate. That's what you would get them to do. So,
right.
So, yeah, it's pretty amazing when you look back and realize even when you were so far away from the Father, you were literally working for the enemy. He still had his hand in everything. It's mind-blowing. I mean,
it is.
Amazing
it really
when you
is.
Can see it, and I definitely see it.
Well, amen. That's God giving you the revelation, you know,
yeah.
unveiling.
Oh, yeah.
This is your life. I don't know if you've ever seen those tracks or whatever they are. They're the chick
yeah.
tracks. Or, this is your life.
Yeah.
You know, it goes back and shows all the different things that you did. But, yeah, God has a way of making you reflect, going back and seeing,
yeah.
and you're like, geez. But like I tell people, I wouldn't change a thing, because if I even wished or wanted to change a thing, then I would have to deny where I am now. And I'm very happy and content in Christ. And to say that if I would change this or I would have changed that, then I wouldn't, it would have changed the whole course of history and I wouldn't be where I am. So that whole plan was laid down. I went the course that I took, and eventually I came on point, and it's where I am. And that's pretty much what you're telling me. You did the same thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the big epiphany, if you want to call it that, or when I came back to the Father, because like I said, I started with him, and my first early years up until 16, I had a pretty good relationship with him, even though I didn't know it. You know what I mean? We weren't taught
yeah.
that, but I really had a great relationship with him. Talked to him all the time, and, you know, although I didn't consciously think of it as being him, I know it was him, you know. God's nature. So, yeah, it was the Father. I don't like to use the term God, as you know, but, yeah, the Father's everywhere. He's everywhere. I don't care. If it was made for pure evil, the Father can use it for good for someone. You know, people got to remember, they pray and they ask for stuff and they want a sign or a word or whatever, and they fail to realize it could be coming from the strangest places, because it does. The Father uses everything to talk to you. He might use a worldly song or a worldly movie or a worldly book, or he might use the Bible, he might use another person, he might use an animal doing something a certain way. I mean, it's
right.
Other
revelation.
Oh, yeah.
Revelation comes in all different ways.
Yep. Got to be open to it. Absolutely. But basically, the big epiphany, I guess, is I was very jealous. That was my biggest problem. I was a very
mm-hmm.
jealous person. I mean, really jealous, like extreme psychotic jealous. And of course, I have my wife, 3 kids. We've been together now 33 years, but I'd say it was probably going on 10 years ago now. It's been a while. But I just got insanely jealous, and pretty much, well, I did basically throw her out, and then I didn't want to leave. You know, you know how it goes. And I realized, well, you probably don't know how it goes, because you sound like you're a lot better off in the relationship department than I was starting out.
Yeah, well, I was married for 30 years, so I've had my trials, trust me.
Yeah. But so anyhow, I realized I was about to lose everything over stuff that was in my head that wasn't real. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I don't know how it snapped or what made me realize finally that, you know, this got to stop. This is nuts, you know. And
yeah.
It pretty much broke me. And I mean, literally broke me. And then I pretty much was in, I would call it the presence of the Father. I don't know how else to describe it. Not that I seen him or any light or anything like that, but I knew I knew I was in his presence, even though I was sitting right here. You know what I mean? And nothing really changed visibly or physically. There was no doubt. And I realized how, like you said, this is your life. I basically seen all that stuff I'd done, you know, all the satanic type stuff, all the witchcraft stuff, all the stuff, you know, lots of stuff, all the promiscuous sex with, because like I said, everything's legal in Germany, all the everything I'd done, all this, my anger, all this jealousy, how I drove my first wife away, how I treated the first child, all of it, how I was treating these children, how I was treating this wife, I literally was like, well, I totally understand now how a holy, righteous, just God could send someone like me to what they call hell to, you know, if some believe, be tortured forever. Now, I'm not saying I believe any of this, but this, I understood how even at that extreme, that's exactly where I should be. There's no way I should be where he's at, because why would you want to? Yeah, I mean, it was, I don't even know how to describe it, like a stain, like not even beginning to be worthy to even be there. I was like, wow, you know, I just totally understood why I should be wiped from the face of this earth forever, whether that included torture, whatever it included. I knew I deserved whatever happens in the end, whatever it might be. Because
so you were shown how dirty you were.
Yeah, and I could feel, I guess, for lack of a better term, because there is no words to describe it when you're in the presence of the Father, at least not for me. You know, maybe other people have different experiences.
Yeah.
Basically could feel how good he was and loving, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And at the same time feel how opposite of that I was. And why would that even want anything like this near it? It couldn't even have anything like this near it. And then I'll say he said, but again, there's no words, there's no anything like that going on. He basically told me, now remember my son that you used to know. And that was it. I mean, I was done. He basically reminded me, now remember Jesus. Remember what he did for you. Remember how none of this matters now. Remember who you are. Remember what he did. Remember that you're already forgiven. Remember that you're loved. Remember, there's no words to even describe that little set of events, to feel that bad. And then to him just say, now remember my son. And
yeah.
It was all feelings more than words, you know, then to feel so, I don't know, accepted, you know, forgiven, loved, grace, I mean, all of it, mercy, to realize all that, to actually feel all that, lift all that crap from you that was just put on you is amazing. And,
it is.
And then you just, I mean, from there was no turning back. There ain't no second guessing now. It's over now. Like I said, there's a whole lot of work to do. A whole lot of work. I'm far from even close to being worthy on that scale. But now I understand that I don't have to be worthy on that scale. I got to strive to be worthy on that scale. That's all that matters. I got to listen to the Spirit, not man. I got to let it tell me what to clean up when it tells me to clean it up. No matter what it looks like on the outside, we're working on the inside. You know, I got way too much on the inside that needs fixed to worry about anything on the outside. At least that's what, you know, that's what the Spirit tells me. So that's what I go with. no matter what man tells me. But jealousy's pretty well, which was my way biggest one, is pretty well gone. I mean, I don't even really think that it's I would say totally gone. Now we're working on anger, you know, bitterness, stuff like that. And that's getting a lot better because I used to be a very angry person, very jealous. So, you know, one step at a time, but he definitely cleans you up, and that's all that matters. Just, you know, I study read the word, as you know, read the Bible, as you know, I do that on my channel. So, and I watch a lot of channels like yours and different quote unquote Christian type channels. And I just, it's all about a relationship with the Father now. That's it. Nothing else really matters. The devil, you know, the enemy does his stuff. All the worldly stuff is a mess. You know, I got no heat yet. And it's middle of winter in Pennsylvania, but hey, the Father's providing. We ain't froze. You know, we're comfy. We're all right. You know, the cars break down and life happens. But the trick is, it's all the enemy. It don't matter. It's all worldly crap anyway. It don't matter. The Father has never not provided what I needed when I needed it. Not always what I wanted. It's never left me hungry. He's never left me without shelter, although maybe not the best. He's never left me without anything that I needed to survive. You know? So that's all that matters. Don't worry about the worldly crap. The enemy loves using the worldly crap to trip us up. So forget about it. You know?
Yep.
It's much easier to forget about it. Father truly provides everything you need. Everything.
Absolutely. So going back to where you were saying when you were a kid, you were walking in the woods and, you know, checking things out. You were more or less alone. Would you compare when you got the revelation that, that you got saved or whatever, that it would be like being in the woods and you were walking around and it was all black and white. And then when you got that revelation, it was like color and you were able just to see things a lot clearer and, you know, see detail in things a lot better.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a good analogy. Like I said, there's really no words, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, discernment is definitely one of my gifts that I got. There's no doubt about that. Faith seems to be one of the gifts that I got because, like I said, I got faith. It don't matter. I don't care what the enemy does. I don't care what people say. It ain't nothing matters. You know what I mean? So I know faith is one of the gifts I got and seems to be speaking. I mean, I never thought I'd be doing. I was, like I said, I didn't have a lot of friends. I was shy as a kid. I don't like talking in front of people. I don't really like people yet. You know, that's another thing we're working on. I really didn't like people, and I'm trying to like people, and, you know, I'm learning to love people and see them as the Father sees them. But I never thought I'd be on a YouTube, and you said I had how many subscribers? I looked at the wife. I said, holy man, hon, I got that many subscribers? Because I don't look. I don't want to know.
Well, I happened to go over to your channel there, and it said 450 or something, so I just threw up on the description 400 subscribers, and I put a link there. So
that's pure Father. I mean, that's pure Father. I that amazes me. Like I said, I don't really look. I look to see who watches, and I love reading the comments, you know, and replying to people. I love the interaction, but I don't look to see how many subscribers or if I got any or lost any. I'm pretty amazed at that myself. Because I've only been putting videos up probably, maybe a little over a year now. I mean, I've had a YouTube channel since, I think, 2012 or 2010 when I started. That's about when I started coming back, and the Father was using videos and stuff like that a lot to help me and show me stuff. And, plus the Bible. But like I said, Father uses all kinds of stuff. So he would lead me around and show me stuff. And so that's when I started the channel. But that's pretty wild. I can't believe I got that many subscribers. That's awesome. Thank you, all subscribers, anyone that's listening. That's cool.
You have more than me, that's for sure.
Hey, we're trying to get you some. I try to get them already. They don't know what they're missing in the loo. I'm telling you, I love them.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Like you, it's you do what you're led to do for the purpose that you're doing, and it whatever it is whatever. You know?
Yep. Do what the spirit tells you to do, and you know that's they take care of the rest. Just do what you're told to do, and that's what we all need to do. We're all called to something. Father has a plan for each and every one of us. You know, and we're all different. Some do the same type stuff, sort of like me and you. We're both online reading and doing what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Some do different stuff, and you know, but we all have a purpose, and that's what you need to do. Just seek a personal relationship, get to know the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and then just follow the Spirit. It'll show you what you need to do, and just do it. Don't be afraid. You said, if it was me, ain't no way I'd be doing this. No way. I'd be on doing an interview or reading videos online. This was not anything I had ever thought of doing ever. But, you know, it's what he wants done. We do it. And obviously it prospers. 450 subscribers. That's awesome. If one of those, you know, as Scotty says, if even just one of those comes to a relationship with the Father, then wow. You know, that's awesome. Hopefully 450 of them do. That's a miracle. You know,
well, there's something out there, you know, 400 or so, whatever you have there. I can't recall off the top of my head. My brain's a little old, but regardless, even if people don't know, you know, but they like what they hear, you know, the exampleship that's there, it's impacting people, their lives and the direction they're going. So you never know. The Father is using you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice when you do hear it, you know, someone sends you an email or talks to you on Hangouts or something, and, you know, about how you impacted them and helped this way. And then, of course, I tell them, well, that's good. That was all this Father, though. I'm just, you know, it wasn't me, but I'm glad I could be of service, you know, be of use to him to do it. And so it's good when you, you know, see some, I guess you'd call it fruits. Because that's all we do. We just plant the seeds. We can't save anybody. Only the Holy Spirit can save anyone. Only Jesus through the Spirit. You know, we can't save a single person. All we can do is do what we do, and it's amazing the way the Spirit can use it to change someone else, to reach someone else through someone even as stupid as me. You know what I mean? Who never thought I'd be doing this stuff. But just do what you do. It works.
Yeah.
Don't worry about results, but it's nice when you see them, but it don't matter. Because
it is nice.
If the Father's having you do it, it's going to work. He don't waste energy and plans and have you do something just so it can fail. Ever. Never. The Father never fails. Ever.
Yeah.
So if you're doing what he wants done, it don't matter what you see. It's working. Keep doing
right.
it. You know what I mean?
And that's what we strive for. We strive to do the will of God and the Father, and we just strive to be what He would want us to be. We know that we can never measure up, but thank God for the blood of Jesus, because that brings us right up to where we need to be, regardless of on our own, we'll never get there.
and you know, we all got our thorns in our side, as Paul said, you know. And that's why we're thankful that His grace is sufficient. You know, we're never going to be perfect till the end. So that's why His grace is sufficient. It covers all that up as we clean up. But we can't ever stop trying to get better. You know, that's the trick. That's the difference between me and the what they call the once saved, always saved doctrine, where, oh, you're saved, you're good. No, I don't believe that. I believe you've got to mentally, physically try to listen to that Spirit and get better. I don't believe because you said the magic words, you're good. I think you're good as long as you, that's the start. That's the beginning of salvation, but salvation's a journey. It ain't a one-time thing. It's a life.
It is a life. Just like maybe a drug addict or an alcoholic, when they stop, you know, they say that it, you know, it's a lifestyle of stopping and trying to not do that anymore. Now, me personally, I don't like to call myself an alcoholic or a drug addict, because I believe that Jesus has delivered me from that. Although I have those tendencies, that's for sure. You know, sit me down with some alcohol, and I'll show you how to make love to alcohol. but you know, I've been delivered from that, so I don't like to put stipulations on it. But you're right, you're right. I mean, this is not a ritualistic thing where you've been indoctrinated. Okay, go and do whatever you want. You're good to go. If that was true, the whole world would just be, hey, I'm a Christian. I gave my life to Christ. I'm good.
Heaven would be full.
Yeah, heaven would be
pretty full. Unfortunately, I believe Jesus said there's very few. So I'm going to take his word over the masses.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine if heaven was like here? Yeah. Why would I want to go there? I don't even want to be here. Why would I want to go to heaven if it's going to be like here?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That means there's going to be like politicians there and people backstabbing me in the back. And I don't want to have anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, why don't you tell everyone pretty much what you do on your channel?
I started out doing, I was moved to do Bible readings for people that, you know, maybe couldn't read because of illiteracy or because of sight problems or whatever reason. You know, I was led to just read the Bible, the scriptures, for people like that. And actually, it's pretty wild because I didn't even know it, but just not long ago, someone told me they really liked what I was doing because they were legally blind and couldn't read. So it's wild how the Father put it on my heart to start that, like I said, a little over a year ago, probably. Maybe, I don't know how long, over a year ago. And just recently, even though I'd sort of not forgotten, but wasn't thinking about that, Father sort of did that, you know what I mean? That's what I mean. The father's awesome. You just got to pay attention. Yeah. But a year and a half later, a dude says, hey, I'm glad you're doing this because I'm legally blind and can't read. And it was like, wow. You know, that was the whole reason the Father wanted me to start it. So I started doing that. And I usually put, me and my wife love taking pictures and photography. So I use all my own pictures mostly and stuff from my yard, little around the woods, stuff like that. So I put all my own photos on it, do Bible readings, and then the Spirit started telling me, okay, well, now we're going to do a breakdown. So the first readings, all I did was read. Then there was a period where I read and did F.B. Meyer's commentary with it. And then basically, like I said, it's a never-ending journey. I just do what I'm told. Just like changing my name and my icon. I miss my old name and my icon, but that's what he wanted. That's what he got. So then after F.B. Meyer, he was like, okay, now you do the commentary. And I'm like, what? I didn't even want to be reading. Now I got to actually be. So now I do read the chapter, and then I go back and highlight verses and whatever the Spirit basically tells me to comment on. I do my own commentary on the on that chapter, and then on Wednesdays now, actually tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern, so about an hour and 15 minutes from now, I've been doing what I call Wednesday Word, and I just take different sermons. Is like I said, Father's used videos and YouTube and all kind of stuff to help me, so I take different sermons that helped me over the years, and I present one of them on a Wednesday on the the premiere thing. So I'm sort of live in the chat, but the video is pre-recorded, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Normally when I do live, it's hard to pay attention to chat. So now it's cool. I can sit in the chat, chat with people and while the lesson's going. And it's just basically, I've done David Wilkerson, Zach Poonens and Leonard Ravenhill, and it's just, you never know what you're going to get, but it's always a good sermon that sort of impacted me or I think might be helpful for someone. I put it out, and sometimes I do a song or two with it. Depends on how long it is. Sometimes I don't. Tonight, there's a, it's actually three different speakers. I think it'll be a really good one tonight. And so, yeah, I do that every Wednesday at 9. Try to make sure I get that out. And the readings I try to do once a week. But, you know, being back to work and still trying to adjust to the weird hours. It's, so far, I've been good at getting them out once a week. So I have to do a reading tonight to get ready to put it out because I got to do my Wednesday word on Saturday because Monday and Tuesday I'm working. So.
Do you ever sit back and just wonder, like, what is going on? How did I get to this place?
yeah. That's, I mean, they're definitely not my plans. Anyone that thinks I thought of doing this, out of their mind, because this is not at all what I thought of doing.
And I think that's the way with a lot of people, that they just look around and they go, how did I get here? You know, in my life, I could never picture myself, you know, being so involved and so dedicated to God. What am I doing? You know, because I find the same thing. I'm, you know, I do my the radio show in the morning, 10 to 12. Then I convert it. I put it over to YouTube. And sometimes I do some YouTube stuff. And then on my own, I'm reading and doing things. And I'm like, I am totally consumed by this. But I get the revelation that it's a good thing to be consumed with. Before, you were consumed with everything else. You were consumed with the world. You were consumed with drugs, alcohol, like you, jealousy, you know, and hatred and bitterness. And now those things have fallen off you. And here you are. This is your true self. This is what you should be doing. And it's a wonderful thing. And it's hard for people to understand that, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can't describe it. You got to experience it. I mean, that's it.
Right.
You truly do. But it is truly amazing. Like, and it's usually, like we're saying, always, never what you expected. But it is exactly who Father made us to be. It's what we're supposed to be, not what the world made us to be and what school taught us to be and maybe bad parents taught us to be or indoctrination in a church system taught us to be. It's who the Father made us to be, and the world can't show you that. Father can through worldly things, but only that personal relationship. It's all about a personal relationship, 100%.
Absolutely.
You've got to read the Word. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to let it speak to you. You've got to, the Spirit will blow your mind. I don't care how many times you've read that book. When you read it with the Spirit showing you what it means, I guarantee it's going to blow your mind. And it's going to scare you at first because you're going to realize you've been lied to a whole lot about who Jesus is and who the Father is. And you've been lied to a whole lot through life. So I think that's why he says, you know, wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or something to that effect. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Because when you get the wisdom, when the Spirit starts showing you the truth in there, because it's all in there, but it's well hidden.
Right.
But when he's
beginning of understanding.
Fear, yeah. It's that's the fear. There really is fear involved, but not a scary fear, just a, you know, you got to make a choice. Are you going to believe the Spirit and let go of everything or not? That's what it comes down to. You've either got to trust that Spirit's telling you no matter what anyone else is saying or not. That's where it's at. And if you trust it, it never lies. It'll blow your mind over and over and over, but it never lies, ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, let me ask you something. And I've had this question bouncing around in my head lately, and I figure I'll ask you, seeing that we sort of have a similar path. Now, do you think that most people that come to know the Lord and everything, that and like us, where we're out there, we don't have any fear of what people think or say about us or whatever. Do you think that people like us, you know, or people that do that tend to have that lifestyle that we had in the past where we were you know, pretty aggressive and sort of fearless in what we did before. You know what I'm getting this around?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I think it probably plays a big part in it. Because like I said, there's no doubt everything I did before definitely helps me with my discernment part and understanding the way that side works. There's no doubt that experience helped. And like you said, the fact that we were basically fearless anyhow, you know, to now be able to take that fearlessness to this side would definitely have to be a plus. So, but I don't know.
Just
I would say
a lot
of the people I know definitely had similar backgrounds, maybe not quite as flamboyant as mine or yours, but, you know, definitely walked on the wrong side of the line. You know, maybe not way over there on that side of the line, but a little bit on the wrong side of the line. So, yeah, I think it definitely would play a part into helping who we are now. I mean, we're unique. The Father made us. All them characteristics that we were used for bad are just as important to the Father to be used for good, you know, whatever they may be. You know?
Right.
That's another thing I don't like about so-called Christianity. They think everyone should start putting on a suit and stop smoking right away and stop swearing and all this outward things, you know, just like the Pharisees. They're all whitewashed tombs, you know, all worried about what you can see on the outside and saying, well, he can't be walking right or she can't be walking right because look at him. Well, Father ain't never looked at the outside of us ever. Not one.
Exactly.
Father looks at our heart. He could care less. I'm not saying we don't fix those things, but I'm saying don't let those things be the important thing. We need to fix our inside. Our hearts are all messed up. We need to learn how to love and forgive and care about each other. And we need to learn all of the things the world don't teach us. The world teaches us to get over on each other, get ahead of the next guy, keep up with the joke, you know. None of that works in the Father's kingdom. It's all about caring more about someone else than yourself. That's basically it, you know.
Right.
Knowing
about
the
others.
Going to take care of you, so care about somebody else. You don't have anything to worry about for yourself if you know the Father's taking care of you. So, you know, show some love to other people. I don't mean you got to go preach in every corner and tell everyone, oh, Jesus is coming, you know, but a simple thank you at the grocery store or smile to the checkout lady or, you know, have a nice day. It's all kind of ways to love each other without being over the top or, you know, just be nice to each other. That's the main thing. Stop being hateful and just be nice to each other. And if you get a chance, say, hey, Jesus loves you, you know.
Right. Treat people with compassion like Christ had for us. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
You know, I used to be the guy in line at the grocery store. Line's long. I'll be tapping, you know, getting all impatient. Now it's like, it's cool. Whatever, man. How you doing?
We won't go there.
Yeah, strike up conversations in line. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
Simple things like that mean a lot. That's what we need to clean up way more than maybe we say a cuss word once in a while or have a cigarette or, you know, that ain't quite as important because, you know, in my opinion, it's all my opinion.
Yeah, and then that's what it is. It's our opinion, how we're choosing to believe, but, you know, like you said, that God is looking at our heart and where our heart lies.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to wrap this up here real quick. Still got about maybe 5 minutes left or so. And so why don't you...
Oh, that's cool. That's weird. It's showing 35 on my end.
Yeah, no, I had set it for an hour and 35 minutes opposed to the hour. I just did that in case we ran over a little bit or so. I just wanted to make it an hour. But I figured I'd wrap it up. And now knowing that you got something going on at 9 o'clock, I don't want to hold you up too much.
It's all pre-recorded. It's all set to go. I don't have to do anything but show up. That's the nice thing about the premiere.
Yeah, well, so for the future, what are you going to be doing? Are you going to just keep doing what you're doing with the recordings and things?
Honestly, I have no clue because, like I said, it's all pretty much up to what he wants me to do. But it seems to be what I'm doing now. I mean, the readings I think I'm always going to be doing, seems to be. But, like, for a while, I had a live show, and that changed. And so now we're doing the Wednesday Word. So, yeah, who knows? I honestly don't know what I'll be doing. But I know I'm probably going to be doing readings for a while till we get through all that and maybe some other books. And Wednesday Word I seem to be going to be doing at the moment for a while. But said the spirit's like the wind, like it says. You never know what it's going to tell you to do. So far, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm planning on doing. But who knows?
Yeah, you're sort of like me. You're going with the flow, and if it changes, it changes. You just go with the flow.
Yeah, that's the only way you can walk in the spirit. That's the only way.
Hey, I'm a sail, and the spirit just blows in me and pushes me where it wants me to. That's the way I look at it.
Yep, that's about right.
Yeah. All right, Ron. Well, I thank you so much for taking time out of your night and coming on and talking. And hopefully, you know, people that are listening get something out of it. And, you know, they'll check out your show, especially the one tonight, you know, Wednesday Word.
It's a pretty good one tonight. Yeah, I really appreciate it, brother. You know, I love you to death, and I was tickled when you asked me to come on. And anytime.
That was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me tickling you.
Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're not going to get any of that from me.
Yeah, seriously, brother. It's an honor to be on. I really respect what you do, and you're very dedicated and an awesome servant. So I really respect you, brother, and it's an honor to be on with you, and I'll be happy to come on anytime.
All right. I appreciate it. Well, much respect to you, too. You keep doing what you're doing. I keep doing what I'm doing. And, hey, man, we'll see what happens. You know, a last breath or whatever. The main goal is heaven. Hallelujah.
That's right. Little by little, we can change the world.
Yeah, we can.
Light's shining in the darkness. We just got to keep it shining.
Hey, well, hey, thank you, wife, for me also. You know, we have a wife. They're as big a part of us as, you know, we are. I just want to thank her for letting you come on.
She can hear you. We got it on the speaker. She's sitting right here.
Oh, okay. Well, hi, wife, and thank you.
Her name's Laura, by the way.
All right, Laura. Well, thank you, Laura, for allowing your husband to come on the show. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you. And, you know, we'll be praying for your needs over there. And we'll just wrap this up here. So, hey, thanks, Ron. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for coming on.
Yep. Thank you, brother.
Okay. We'll see you later.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye. Alrighty, so that was Ron from Pennsylvania, and he has his YouTube channel, Armored Up. You can go check on that. You can click on the link that I have in the description. Like we were talking about, he has over 400 subscribers. I think it's more towards 450 or so. Does a wonderful, wonderful job reading, bringing the Word of God to people. Loves the Father, and we want to give him some advertisement, if you will. So you check out his readings once a week. He has them up. And you can go over there and click the bell, and you'll get the notification, and you can watch those. Sometimes they'll be live. Sometimes they're pre-recorded, as he said. And make sure you check them out at 9 p.m. today. You have Wednesday Word. Now, he said that he's going to have three speakers or so. Or three sermons, so that's sure to be a good time, probably edifying, lifting us up, and giving us some meat to eat. How many know we need meat? You can drink soup a lot and eat soup, but boy, when you have some meat, it's so good. All right, there. So, hey, I want to thank you for listening. This is Red Words Lou. Catch me out tomorrow on Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow's show is pre-recorded. It's going to be at 7 a.m. And we'll see if I kick in anything later on. Gotta do some stuff with my friend who lost his wife, and we're working out whether or not I'm going to be going because of some logistic issues and so on and so forth. But I did pre-record that. I threw it on for 7 a.m. in the morning. And if I am kicking around here, be sure to catch me around 10 o'clock, where I will get on with a sermon from Smith Wigglesworth, because I deem it very important to throw the word of God out there. So until next time, I want to say thank you. And for Christ like us, hey, you know, Christians like us, whatever I call this thing, for this show that I'm doing where I bring people on. Thank you for listening. Next week we'll have a guest. I believe it might be Scott E., who you heard us talk about. So he does really cool musician type things with guitars and organs and all that jazz. So you can check him out on Rain and Redemption. But make sure you check out Onward Up, and he'll be on at 9 o'clock. Sure to be a good show. I want to thank you. This is Red Words Lou. I'll catch you later. Be safe. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bye.